Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to meditate for a few moments now on our gospel reading that we just heard from Matthew 25, but first we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit on Katie this morning. We pray that you continue to bless and guide her all her days. We pray now that you would pour out your Holy Spirit on us as we hear your word proclaimed, that we would be strengthened in our life of faith and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we approach the last Sunday of the church year, which is next week, our Bible readings seem to continue to increase in intensity. And today's parable is another case in point. There's a real weightiness, a real gravity to these words that we hear. I mean, how about that ending today? It's not exactly sunshine and lollipops, is it? It's pretty heavy stuff, pretty weighty stuff. But the same weightiness is actually there at the beginning of the parable. It's just that we probably miss it a little bit. And if we hear the weightiness at the beginning of the parable, I think it helps us make sense of the weightiness at the end. So I want to lead you through that today, and I want to focus especially on the weight of what is given, the weight of what is expected, and the weight of what is offered throughout this parable. So back to the start. The kingdom of God will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The first thing that's really important for us to hear and understand, and that we so easily miss, is the value of these talents. Now, the talent, before it was a measure of currency, was a measure of weight, a bit like the pound, I suppose. But a talent was used to measure something of immense weight. So we're talking about large quantities of gold, large quantities of silver were measured in talents. Now, when it comes to be a measure of currency, if you know of the biblical denarius, that was about a day's wage, they say that a talent was worth about 6,000 plus denarii. So we're talking about a lifetime's worth of wages. It's an astounding amount of money that's entrusted to these servants. Even to the third servant who gets one of them, it's an astounding amount of money. We don't like to think about gaining weight, but this is the kind of weight you want to gain, right? This is a heavy measure. This is a significant thing that's entrusted to these lowly servants. Now, I want you to consider for a moment everything God has entrusted to you in your life, everything that's been placed in your hands. If you go to the small catechism, Martin Luther has this great list of things that he talks about. He says, okay, God's given me my body and soul, my eyes and ears, all my members, my reason, my senses, my clothing, my shoes, my food and drink, house and home, wife or husband or children, land and animals, and everything that I have. We could keep going, by the way. God's given me my work, and he's given me my hobbies and my interests, and he's given me my gifts, and he's given me unique gifts and abilities and opportunities to use those things, and he's given me friendships, and he's given me Christian community and Christian faith, and the list just goes on and on and on and on. The value, the weight of what's been entrusted to us is so great. And every morning when we get up, and every direction that we turn, and every person that we encounter just speaks to us of the endless gifts of God in our life, the incredible value and worth of what is entrusted to us. No exceptions, by the way. No exceptions. Even the third servant, who we may look at and think he got less, got far more than he would have ever imagined and far more than he would have ever needed for what the master was calling him to do. So the first thing to recognize is the weight of what is given. The second thing to realize is the weight of what is expected with what's given. What we sometimes call the weight of responsibility. and that many of us feel quite heavily. Now, the first two servants get this, and you know they get this because they head out straight away and they put what they've been given to work. And it doubles. It doubles in its value. Not only do we sometimes not see the value of what we've been given, but rarely do we see the potential of what we've been given. And the parable tells us that there's immense worth in these talents, but also there's immense potential in the talents given to us. And both are important for us to see. And if we don't see it in ourselves, then it's important we help one another to see these things. The potential of what's been entrusted to each one of us. The parable assures us that it's of immense value and potential. Now, the third servant doesn't get it. He doesn't see it, and he doesn't get it. And we can see that in the way he goes to work, full of fear, full of trepidation. He goes out and buries this talent in the ground. He just keeps it under wraps, which we learn is a waste of it, not a good use of it. And later we hear his rationale in blaming his master for his hardness and harshness and kind of trying to justify himself in that way. Now his problem, from what we can tell, is not with the talent, but it's with the master. That's the point of contention. I knew that you were a hard man, a harsh man. And so from the very beginning, his service was joyless, and it was a pain, and it was a burden to him. He knew something of God, but not enough. You know, he knew the sovereignty of God, but not the care of God. He knew the law of God, but not the grace of God. And so his knowledge of God was, it was there, but it was not enough. He needed something else. He needed more. And so his service became a great burden to him. And it happens to us as well. It happens so easily to us as well. That the joy of serving actually just becomes a burden to serve. One day, what the parable tells us is that one day, perhaps any day, God may want to know what we've been doing with the things he's entrusted to us. God may come and say to us, look, I've given you so much. What have you been up to? And it's important we know that the important thing in the interim is not that we've gone out and we've made millions or become famous or done so much better than someone else. That's not the point. The point is that we've recognized the value of what's been given and then gone and put it to work in any number of ways. Now, we have our big offering Sunday coming up next week, and that's a time in our church year when we encourage each other to think about God's blessings to us and to think about a special gift we might give to the work of God's church. Visitors don't have to listen to this, by the way. This doesn't concern you, all right? Look, we encourage each other to give generously, not under compulsion, not with a figure attached to it, and not because God is some ogre who demands it, but because he is interested in the way we live our lives and spend our money and use our time and all manner of things. He's interested. You know, Paul writes in 1 Timothy that when we live generously, then we start to take hold of the life that is really life. That's what he says. When we live generously with our time, with our talents, with our money, we start to understand and take hold of a life that is really life. It's a remarkable promise. We start to extend the goodness of God that's been extended to us. Visitors, you can start listening again now. All right, so the weight of what's given, the weight of what's expected, and then the weight of what's offered. Now, what's offered in this parable? We very easily hear what's offered or not offered to the third servant because it's so stark. And because he's dismissed and he's sent out of the presence of the master, and it's so sad. And it sounds sad, and it is sad. And it's meant to be sad that he's told to leave the master's presence. And I imagine the master did that with a very heavy heart. It's not something he would have wanted to do. But it's the servant's own words and actions and judgments about the master that led to that point. You know, he's got this really harsh view of the master. That's all he is. And so the service was joyless from the start. And the path was perilous at the end. And that's a warning we're all meant to hear, not just some of us. We're all meant to take that on board and reflect on it. But there's more to this parable. There's a lot more to this parable. Just as there's more to that master than that servant gave him credit for. He was underselling the master. And so he undersold himself and his opportunity to serve. The words spoken to these first two servants reveal something to us about this master's heart. His desire to commend his people and speak highly of them. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I'll set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, it's not because of how much they made, right? They made different amounts. But it's because of the faith that inspired their making, the relationship they had with their master, their inspiration, their motivation for their service. That's what's at stake. We must allow ourselves as Christians to be commended and affirmed by God when it's fitting, when it's right, when it's in its place. You know, he says to you today, he says to you, well done, good and faithful servants. And most of us find this quite hard to accept. But he says to Matt and Stacey this morning, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful in a little. You've brought your little child to baptism. Well done. It's a good thing. And he says to her godparents, well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful in a little thing. I'll set you over many things. And he says to you in your service, and you might think it's little, but it's not. And I came in here yesterday and saw people, you know, working incredibly hard just to clean this church, to make this a space beautiful for us to come into on a Sunday morning. And I just think, well done. You might think it's a little thing. But the master says to his servants, well done for being faithful in this little thing. I'm going to set you over many things. And it's the same for you in your service. You know, it might just be, you might think it's little. It might be in your family. It might be in the church. It might be on a committee, on a roster, leading a youth group. Any number of things, any number of ways we serve him. And he turns to us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'm going to set you over many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Now, talk about weighty statements. This statement has weight and it has gravity and it has grace, and it's what God wants us to hear, as well as the other part. Now, just thinking about the weight of God for a moment. I wonder if you know where the weight of God was thought to dwell in the Old Testament. Sometimes they called it the glory of God, right? But the literal thing is the weight of God. Where is the weight of God? You went into the temple. You go into the temple. We can't go now. It's not there anymore. But you go into the temple in Jerusalem and you go up the front and there's this place called the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies is the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant's got the Ten Commandments in. And above the Ark of the Covenant is a seat. And it's called the Mercy Seat. And it's like an empty throne. At least everyone else thought it was empty. The Jews knew that that was the weightiest thing of God right there, the mercy of God. That was the thing of the greatest gravity in their life, was the mercy of God. You know, God in his mercy commends you for your faith. And God in his mercy affirms you for your service, however small you think it is. And God in his mercy sends his Son into the world worth more than all the talents of the world, to die for the world, to be buried by the world, and yet to rise up again to reign over the world. That's what God does in his mercy. And in Christ, then, we see the weight of God and the grace of God and the glory of God. Don't miss that in this parable. And so Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, this light, momentary affliction. He's talking about life, by the way. This light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory that is beyond all comparison. Now, friends, that is a type of weight that is worth gaining and good to gain. And I want to pray today that we would gain it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your words to us, even those that challenge us, perhaps unsettle us a little bit. We thank you because we know that through them you are trying to show us something important, trying to wake us up a little bit, caution us, warn us. But we pray that even more than that, you use that to drive us into your arms of mercy, where we discover your grace, your forgiveness, and your peace. Lord, help us to dwell in that place and to hear your words of commendation and affirmation. Well done, good and faithful servants. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.